Very happy to be here and look forward to the week. If you care to read with me, and I'm sure you do, have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, the Lord Jesus told three called parables. A parable is an earthly story. We're down here on the earth. He told parables that we might relate to the great spiritual truths we can identify. It's like a window. So I just want to read the first one about the lost sheep. So we begin reading at Luke 15, chapter 1, or verse 1. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. He didn't say people, he said sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. God will bless, as he always does, the reading of his precious word. You notice the key word here in this portion, lost, just a few verses. If you lose, shepherds lost the sheep. That which is lost, the sheep which was lost. And that is the first great truth that God wants us to get a hold of. That we are not born children of God. We are born lost. Lost to God. The majority of people do not realize that they are lost. I was 30 years old before someone actually informed me that I'm lost. I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, Are you saved? I didn't know what he was talking about. I was saved. Saved from what? Saved from your sin. That's what the Bible is all about. It's not about religion of any kind. There aren't any in the Bible. Cover to cover, it's about a person. That person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look into the Bible, we see ourselves in there, and it's not a very pretty picture. Sinners is mild, but we are. Our hearts are so sinful. God said they're deceitful of all things, our hearts, desperately wicked, he said. Who can know it? We can't know it. He knows it. The first great truth that a man or a woman has to get a hold of before they can be saved from their sin is to understand that I'm lost. I looked the word up in Oxford Dictionary. It said, unable to find one's way, not knowing where one is. And I like what it said last, a bewildered person. It's my privilege to visit much, knocking on doors and talking to dear souls about their destiny. And I know that I'm talking to bewildered people. Don't even know why we are here. What is the point of my being here in the first place? Is there any meaning to my life? And when I leave, I know deep within me, God's put that in our hearts, I'm leaving my body. Death is leaving my body. Like 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says shortly, I must put off this, my earthly tabernacle. That's how he referred to his body. I, Peter, living inside here, I must put it off because I'm going home to glory. That is death, separation. But we are separated from God here upon earth until I am saved by the grace of God. Luke 19:10, he said, the Son of Man, referring to himself, I've come to seek and to save lost sinners. Well, if you're here this morning and you are not saved, if you couldn't come up here and tell a story, if you couldn't come up here and look everybody in the eye and tell a story of the day I realized I was a lost sinner, and then I realized Christ died for me, loved me, died for me, and was calling me, and I came to Him, and now I am as sure of heaven as though I was already there. You can't tell a story like that, friend. Well, God is very good to you to bring you here this morning to this place. Because the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is being proclaimed, and souls are saved through a very simple message. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, the dynamite of God, unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Key word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There were some friends who rented a fishing boat in Canada, Ontario, called Lake of the Woods. And they went out fishing. They had a fine time. A lot of islands in the lake, and they're going here and there. And now it's getting, the sun's starting to go down. Well, we'd best get back. And so they got their map out. Looking at the map, they saw where the dock was. But you know, they didn't know where they were. So what good was the map to them? You can't find your way somewhere until you know where you are. I know you want to go to heaven, but you have to find out where you are first. You got to get located. Well, fortunately for them, another boat, they hailed a man. He came over. He knew the lake. He said, you're right here on the map. This is where you are, right here. No, I'm here. Now I know. Now I got to get there where I want to go. May God bless you this morning that you might get located and understand where you are right now. If you're not saved, if you've never been born again into God's family, if you don't know what it means to be saved by the grace of God, to be a Christian, a Christ one, apostrophe S, I belong to Jesus Christ, then you're in the right place this morning. And this message is for you. You're not here by accident. It's not a coincidence that you're here this morning. You say, well, somebody invited me here this morning. Yes, they did. But God is the one behind the scenes because He loves lost sinners. He loves you. Isaiah said in chapter 53, about 7 centuries before Christ came, all. And when God says all, He means all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that's the way we're born. And we live that way, don't we? You look outside, everybody is going their own way. Doing what's right in their own eyes. God says, you know what? That's an evil way. Your back is to me. And every day of your life, you're getting further and further and further away from me. Gone astray. My way. What I want to do, I do. It's right in my own eyes, I do it. If I want that, I get it. Want to go there, I go. No Savior, no God. I live my life independent of God. And we're all born that way. Isaiah 59 and 2 tells us something else about our sin. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Like this parable. A sheep separated from the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And worse than that, it says, and your God, you're separated from God, and your sins have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid His face from you. Someone wrote, your best intentions must wholly be waived, your best resolutions be crossed, nor can you expect to be perfectly saved till you find yourself utterly lost. And if a man or a woman will not take sides with God against themselves and say, you know what? I didn't know I was lost. I didn't see myself as a guilty sinner. But you say so in the Bible. And God, I now agree with you. I know this book is truth. And my heart deceives me.
If you don't get there, my friend, you're never going to see heaven. Do you understand? You'll never see that great God of love and glory. That's repentance. I changed my mind. I'm not the good person I thought I was. I thought God actually had respect for me. I'm not that bad a person. I compare myself with others, and I'm not so bad. God says, understand something. We are all the same. Everybody in this room, no one is any different, better than anybody else. We are sinners, born in sin. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. It's inside, sinful nature. That's the turning point in a person's life when they realize they're lost to God. I know college football is a big thing down here in the United States. I was reading of a game between Stanford University. They're playing UCLA. Jack Curtis was the coach. UCLA hadn't lost a game all year. I think Stanford had won one game. Jack Curtis knew, he already knew, they're not going to beat UCLA. They're going to be annihilated. And they were annihilated. I don't know, 7 touchdowns to 0. But anyway, he gave a rousing speech in the dressing room. We can beat them. That's what coaches do. Stir them up. Confidence. So, after the game, Porter comes over and says, Mr. Curtis, what was the turning point in the game? He said, right after they played the national anthem. He knew. He knew in his heart already. Turning point. We're going to lose. Yes, already lost. Game's already lost. He knew that. Well, my friend, you're lost this morning. God wants you to understand that. You might not feel lost. You might not feel like a guilty, condemned sinner, unworthy of heaven. You might not feel that way. Most people don't. But you are. God says so. We're all the same. Job 34 and 29, when he hideth his face, who then can behold him? Ezekiel 34 and 6, sheep scattered upon all the face of the earth. That's what we are. And Matthew 9 and 36, it says, and when he, the Lord Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And that's what we see in the world. He becomes my shepherd when he becomes my Savior from sin, Lord of my life. You can't have Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin if you will not have him reign over you. If you want to carry on in your life, like having control of your life, and doing what you want to do, then you cannot have him as your Savior. And your sins will keep you out of heaven. You can't have him as your shepherd, as your Savior, unless he's your Lord. He's my Lord. I bow the knee. I humble myself before Almighty God. And I understand how solemn, how serious sin is. If you want to know, just read the closing chapters of all 4 Gospels and find out what God's Son went through because of us and our sin, that we might be saved. There was a knock on a preacher's door in the middle of the night in London, England, night at 3 o'clock in the morning, pouring rain, a little tapping on the door. So he got up out of bed and he opened the door, and the little girl standing there, about 8 years old, and she said, please, sir, my mother is dying, and she asked me to come and see if you would come and talk to her. Well, he looked outside, it's pouring rain, and he tried to keep his eyes open, but he knew God wanted him to go. So we got dressed and they went down through the streets of London to a little poor section, up these rickety old stairs, little bedroom, and there lies his mother, and he recognized her. She had been in his meetings before, heard the gospel. Her look was one of utter dejection, terror. Here's what she said. She looked up at him and said, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. He said, so, he said, you believe that you're lost. Oh, yes. And you believe that you're a sinner. Oh, yes. You believe the scriptures, ma'am. Oh, yes, I do. Well, then let me tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to save you, and he will save you right now as you lie upon your bed. He said, he will. Yes, he will. He talked to her, I think, from Luke 15, lost. The Son of Man's come to save. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him as your own, my Savior. I believe on him. He died for sinners, died for me. And if I believe on him, God says, thou shalt be saved. He said, you think you can believe God? And she looked at him and smiled. She said, yes, sir. I believe God. I've got it. I've got it. And that countenance changed into a look of joy. 24 hours later, she'd gone home to glory. Who sent the man there? He was there on behalf of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what he's doing, separated and sought by the Savior. And all your life, the Lord Jesus Christ, through circumstances, maybe you heard the gospel before. He's been seeking you. He's been seeking to save your soul. That's why you're here on the earth. Maybe you didn't know that. We're here to be saved, that I might be with God in glory. He can't bring me to glory. We fell, fallen human race, sinful. But he sent his Son that we might be with him in glory. So the Lord Jesus Christ has been dealing with you in your life, seeking to get your attention. He went after that which is lost until he findeth. There was a man, an Englishman, in a Portuguese prison. He was going to be there for the rest of his life. He had a friend in England, made a trip down to Portugal. He brought him in a little box of novels. Thank you very much. So he's reading his novels. And one day he grabs a new novel, opens it up, and inside there is a sermon. A gospel message from Charles Haddon Spurgeon in London. And he read the sermon. And he read it again. And you know, he read a message, the very same message you're hearing today. Hasn't changed. 2,000 years is still the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from your sin. Turn from going your own way. Turn around. About face. Humble yourself. Crown Christ, Lord of my life, Savior from sin, and thou shalt be saved. The man was saved. And wrote a letter to Charles Haddon Spurgeon and thanked the man. That was the Savior. That was the Lord Jesus Christ seeking that man. He sent his friend down there. His friend wasn't even a Christian. But inside was the sermon, the gospel message that saved the man's life. An 85-year-old woman, she said, after the man led her to Christ, she said, do you mind if I pray? He said, by all means, pray. She bowed her head and here's what she said. Lord, I thank thee for going out of thy way to save me. And he is always going out of his way to find sinners. That's the whole point of life. And he blessed you today. And now the sheep is saved. Saved, and when he hath found it. Peter's writing to the Christians in 1 Peter, his first epistle in chapter 2, 25. Now these are men and women who saw themselves as lost, turned to Christ and were born again, saved, Christians, Christ won. The Lord is my shepherd, God's people now. He said, ye were, past tense, ye were as sheep going astray. To wander, roam about, to be misled, to err, to be mistaken. He said, but are now returned unto the shepherd. You have a shepherd now, capital S, it's the Lord Jesus Christ of your souls. And the Word is one who tends, feeds, leads, cherishes, guides, and protects. How marvelous it is to be a Christian. The Lord is my shepherd, and He watches over His children, His sheep. He says, "Man, my sheep, they know me. I know my sheep." He knows those who trust in Him. He says, "They hear my voice. I know them, and I know they love me." Saved, lost. As you are here this morning, you are either saved, and you know it, or you're lost. That's solemn. Are you going to be here tomorrow? Are you? You can't say to me, "Oh, yes, for sure I'll be here tomorrow." Nobody can. So today's the day. This morning is the morning. If God speaks to your heart and you know it's God and He's calling you and you know He's calling you, God says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now, right now, is the day of salvation." Don't go back out there without a Savior, my friend. If you die in your sins, listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8. You know, people say, "Well, you know, it's how you interpret the Bible." The devil would like people to believe that. He said this. How do you interpret this? "If you die in your sins, whither I go, Father's house, you cannot come." I believe that's very straightforward, right down the line. Said what he meant what he said. There's the great danger of putting off your salvation, because none of us know when we die. He said, "If you die in your sins, you cannot come to heaven." He's a holy God. I'm either saved or I'm lost. One or the other. And He wants to save your soul. "What must I do to be saved?" the man asked, trembling on his knees before Paul and Silas in Acts 16. He actually asked the question. "Isn't God good? Have I written in the Bible? Here's a man about to die in his sins. Now he's not going to die. He knew he was going down to hell because he was a sinner. But he wants to be saved now." God woke him up. An earthquake woke him up in Acts 16. Sometimes God uses earthquakes in people's lives, shaking their lives to wake them up, because there's nothing any more important than your salvation. We're only in these bodies for a little time. "What must I do to be saved?" He's in earnest. I hope you're in earnest this morning. I hope that's why you've come. "The truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." That's what you're hearing. You're hearing the truth from God's Word. So Paul said to him, he's looking at a man who's already repented. He knew what he was. He knew he wasn't going to heaven when he died. And Paul knows this man, he's ready to be saved, because he's already turned in his heart from his sin and going his own way. So he said to him, "Believe on, put all your faith and trust in the person, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for your sins, and thou shalt be saved." No more. No more. The man believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and he was saved. He became a new man. He cast them into the prison. Now he takes them to his home. He washes their wounds. They were beaten. He puts food before them. He's a changed man. He's a new man. His family also believed and they were saved. Now, would you like to become a new man, a new woman? Well, if you don't, if you are content with the person you are, you'll never, ever see God's heaven. Understand that. If you're happy with the way you are. God brought me the end of myself. He brings people to the end of themselves. And I got to the point when I was 30 years old that I couldn't stand the face in the mirror anymore. That's a great place to get to. At my wit's end, kind of man am I? Sinful man is what I am. don't even know God. And that's where you find God, at your wit's ends. And he makes a new man, a new woman, out of every single person who bows the knee and wants to become a man of God, a man of the Word, man of prayer, woman of God, woman of prayer. I'm a woman of God. I live my life not for me, not to bring pleasure to me. I live my life to bring pleasure to the heart of my God. That's the Christian life. That's what Jesus Christ meant when he said, follow me, live like me. And that's how he lived, wasn't it? He pleased his Father. And after we're saved, we are secure and we are strengthened. It's all of God. You know, before you're saved, you're sitting, you think, you know, I can't live like those men and women do. I can't. I love my sin too much. I had no idea what was in store for me. I just knew I didn't want to go to hell. And I didn't like the man that I was. An excuse for a husband, an excuse for a father. Down there pleasing me. It's getting older. God gives you a strength and a power within you never knew existed. This world doesn't know anything about it. They don't. God enters the body. God, the Holy Spirit, of the one who saved. Isn't it an amazing thing? That's a miracle. People say, well, God's not doing any miracles anymore. He's doing miracles every single day. Imagine God himself, the Holy Spirit, taking up permanent residence right in your body, and you hear a still small voice within you never heard before, and you have power over sin. Chains are gone. I can now say no to sin, yes to righteousness. It's all God. It's all God. A lady came to a missionary in China, and she said, a man asked her if she ever heard the gospel. She said, no, I haven't heard the gospel, sir, but I've seen the gospel. What do you mean by that, madam? Well, it was a man in our village. He was an opium smoker. He was a drunkard. He treated his wife terribly and his children terribly. Even the children in the village ran from him. Fierce temper, anger, like the fight. He came here. He said something about the gospel. He's a changed man. He was a lion, now he's a lamb. I see him going out at night walking with his wife holding hands. The children come to him. Now he loves children. He's entirely changed. No more opium, no more alcohol, no more temper. No, she said, I haven't heard the gospel, sir, but I've seen it and I want it. I want that power in my life. Well, if you really want it, you get it. Those who really mean business with God, I want salvation, those are the ones who get God's salvation. Someone wrote a poem. It's about the law. What did the law say? Run, John, and live, the law commands, but gives me neither legs nor hands. Yet better still, the gospel brings, it bids me fly and gives me wings. Secure in Christ. Where was the sheep? Well, actually, the shepherd put it on shoulders. We can picture that, I think. He's holding on two legs here. He's holding on to two legs here, and those mighty shoulders of God. See, we're not holding on to Christ. We who are saved, he's holding on to us. And he's carrying us through life. And he strengthens us. And he says, the thing that's appointed for you to do, I do it through you. And Paul said, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, who continually infuses me with strength and power. And my friend, you can have that life. It's found only in Christ, shepherded through life. And when he cometh home, how marvelous is that? And when he cometh home, Psalm 23 says, the shepherd twice, he leadeth me for his name's sake, paths of righteousness. Someone wrote, I see a hand that you can't see, that beckons me away. No sin for me, beckons me away. I hear a voice that you can't hear. tells me not to stay. That's why you see a changed man, changed woman. I hear a voice inside, it's God leading me, my shepherd. And when he cometh home, safe at home. You know, this place, this temporary world, which one day Jesus Christ is going to sweep away, is not the Christian's home. And we are very well aware of it. He said, to those who believe, you're no longer in the world. You're not a worldling anymore, having your portion in this life only. No, you're not of the world. You're not a worldling. But you're in the world as my people, to shine as a light and tell others about me. My Father's house, John 14. I'm going to my Father's house. So the ladies at the resurrection morning, go tell the brethren, I'm going to my Father and your Father. Isn't it lovely? How marvelous. Not only to know God, but that he's my Father. Abba Father. Intimate. I can pour out my heart to him. And we do as God's people. Because he loves us. You know, we have dual citizenship. Philippians 3, my citizenship, our citizenship is in heaven. I trust you're all Americans here. You're an American citizen. I live on the border, Canada, U.S. I'm back and forth every day almost when I'm home. They want to know about your citizenship, passport and so on. You're a Canadian citizen, sir. Yes. I'd like to say this. I won't say it, but I'd like to say it. You know what? I have actually dual citizenship. Oh, you're an American as well. No, no, sir, I'm not an American. I'm a citizen of heaven. Yes, I have dual citizenship. Yes, I'm going home to glory. I wouldn't say that. I'd be inside for an hour being interrogated. But it's the truth. We have dual citizenship. Save at home. We are confident, I say, Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 5:8, I say, and willing. He's talking about dying now. I visited a Christian in Worcester, Chuck Davis. Maybe some of you know Chuck Davis, servant of God. Very sick. A death pale color, losing weight. But you know what? He's looking forward to leaving that wretched body. So are we. In this room, we who are saved, we're looking forward to the day. Paul said, you know, we're confident and willing rather to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul saw heaven. He couldn't tell anybody about it. He couldn't describe it. He said, there's no language I know. He knew five languages. There's no language I know that I could tell you what's up there. But listen to what he said. Philippians 1, 2, 3. I am in a strait inside, like pulled between two, having a strong desire to depart. There's death, to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. How about that? Dying is far better? Yes, it is. For the believer in Christ, not only is it better, it's far better than life down here. Live to the fullest. I was wandering around an old graveyard near Moncton, New Brunswick, out in Dundas. Fred knows where that is. And I saw a tombstone. Been there a long time, these tombstones. I read one in memory of Peter. I wrote this one down. In memory of Peter Cormier, died December 27th, 1888, aged 21 years old. Underneath, we loved him much, we loved him well, we loved him more than tongue can tell. God loved him too, and thought it best to take him home with him to rest. But what really caught my attention was a beautiful engraving at the top of a hand with a finger pointing upward and over it, yonder is my home. And that is the truth for we who are saved. Up yonder, beyond the farthest star, the third heaven, that's our home. Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. And we're longing to get through this life, glorifying Christ, living for Christ, bringing glory and honor to his name. That's how we live. At the end of that life, we're going home. And we want to hear a well done. And then finally, the singing. Are we singing?
the Lord Jesus singing, he said to his friends and neighbors, rejoice with me. To rejoice within. It's in conjunction with another. He said, I am so rejoicing over one sheep. I had 99, but I went after that one and I found it. His rejoicing in heaven. He read the last verse. See the application. The parable, bringing this great truth down so we understand. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. What a marvelous thing that is. He hath received him safe and sound. I love that word. That's what the older brother of the prodigal son was told by the servant. He was a self-righteous man. He thought he was good enough for heaven, you see. He didn't rejoice that his lost brother out in the world feeding pigs was back home again, embraced by the Father. He was upset. Self-righteous man. He's left in the field, which speaks of the world. And his servant says to him, you know, your father, he's received him safe and sound. I like those words. I'm away a lot. And when I finally pull into the driveway at our little house in St. Stephen, I say, Lord, thank you for bringing me home again, safe and sound. And they began to be merry, prodigal son. And we know we don't read it ever ending. Joy is the Christian's portion. And Jesus Christ said, you know what? It's my joy. Happiness depends on what's happening. See people happy? Well, things are going pretty good in their life. Then things start happening that aren't so good. Well, they're unhappy. Jesus Christ said, I have something I brought down from glory with me. Not only my peace am I giving you, but my joy I'm putting right inside your bosom. And he said, nobody, nothing can take it away from you. Even a sorrowful, Paul said, yet always rejoicing. There's a missionary in a little town in South America, and he used to go to market once a week, and he was always singing choruses, gospel hymns. Children would flock to him. One day he was going through the market, he's all done, and the children were there, and they said, could you sing us one more? Just sing one more. He said, well, I'll tell you what. You sing a song for me, and I'll sing one more for you. And they all put their heads down. Here's what they said. We have nothing to sing about. Does this world have anything to sing about? And yet, isn't it an amazing thing? So you hear out there is music. So you hear singing, singing, sing. About what? About things under the sun. That's all. They've nothing to sing about. Psalm 40, it says, he brought me up out of an horrible pit, the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, and he's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. We are the only ones, God's people, who have something to sing about. May God bless you. If you've never bowed the knee, friend, today can be your day. If you want salvation, he's standing right outside your heart's door, just waiting for you to say, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. I surrender, and I want you as my Lord and Savior from sin. We'll pray. Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near to thee and thank thee for such a wonderful Savior, for these parables that break down the gospel so simply that we might understand. We who are saved, Father, we thank thee for that day when the truth set us free. And we pray for any here this morning in our little company, young or old, who are not thine. May they, gracious God, make this the day when they repent, change their mind, and turn to thy Son. We acknowledge salvation is of the Lord. So, Father, we ask thee for blessing this morning in his name. And for his honor and his glory, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening.